So you turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. We're kind of continuing our on-again, off-again series through the book of Proverbs. We're up to Proverbs chapter 10, the 9th verse this evening. Let's hear the word of our Lord. He who walks in integrity walks securely. But he who perverts his ways will be found out. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Give us ears to hear and minds to understand your word now. May we truly learn wisdom, Father, from your word. We pray that you would send your spirit to work with your word. That we wouldn't just learn what wisdom is, but be enabled to put it into practice. That we would be conformed more to the image of Christ. And enabled to serve in his kingdom. We pray that you be with your servant, guard his mind and tongue, that he may only declare that which is true according to your word. And as your word is explained, Father, and set forth, may your name be exalted, and your church strengthened. In the name of our Lord we ask this. Amen. I don't know how many of you enjoy hiking. I like to hike. Partially because I can't stand still. As you can see when I'm preaching, I probably walk about 20 miles just when I'm up here in any given sermon. I'm not somebody who could go into the woods and just sit there and enjoy the woods. I could walk through the woods and enjoy it, but I can't just sit in one spot. So I like to hike and I enjoy it a lot. And when I hike by myself, I don't think much of danger. Probably because I'm stupid enough to think I'm invincible. Nothing's going to happen to me. But if I have my children with me, then I'm worried. Then I'm like, we have to go the safe way. When I go by myself, it's like, okay, there's all jagged rocks here and stuff. It doesn't matter. We'll just go this way. But if the kids are with me, they say, okay, now we've got to watch. Can't get them too close to the ledge and things like that. So I'm looking for a safe way. And there's some wisdom to that, isn't there? You know, it's a good thing I have kids. Otherwise, I'd probably be dead because it forces me to do things safely at times. And actually think through things, what I'm doing sometimes. And we want to be safe, don't we? I mean, we don't look for danger. The world is dangerous enough. We don't need to go looking for doing things the hard way or the more dangerous way through life. But what is the safe way? How do we live life safely? What is the path to safety in this world? How do we stay on the safe path? How do we keep our children on a safe path so we're not in danger and they're not in danger? So that we could be safe and live confidently in the world. Not always having to fret, not always being fearful, but having that sense of safety in our life. That's what's set before us in this proverb. It sets forth the safe way. How to walk in safety in a sin-cursed world that is otherwise a very, very dangerous place to be. There's dangers everywhere. Dangers, not just to the body, but more so in a sin-cursed world. Dangers to the soul. Dangers not just for this life, but dangers for all eternity. And as you go through life, you meet many people who you see have fallen into these dangers, whose lives are a shipwreck. You find people who have just really just destroyed their whole life or left a wake of destruction in their path because they haven't walked in the safe way. But they've chosen the dangerous path instead, and they bear the scars because of it. So let's take a look at this proverb and kind of take it apart a little bit, see how to walk in safety in this life and for the next life, and learn how to do that, that we might live in safety, enjoying our Lord and leading our families in safety. The text is quite short. Two stanzas, really just one sentence, but two parallel stanzas. It says, he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. Let's look at the first phrase, he who walks with integrity walks securely. First of all, this idea of walking, the writer of Proverbs is not saying, literally, this is how you walk. So children, he's not saying, you who walk in terms of doing this, okay, in integrity. That's not what it means. By walking, it means the way you live your life. It has to do with your conduct and your behavior. So it's the one who behaves this way or lives this way. Not just a literal kind of marching along through life. To walk is figurative language for personal conduct or behavior. And it says to walk in integrity. What does integrity mean? We talk about it sometimes. We say men of integrity, or someone has little or no integrity, or someone has lots of integrity. But what does integrity mean? The Hebrew word here has the idea of completeness, and carries with it the idea of moral innocence or uprightness. In other words, when the Bible uses the word integrity, it just doesn't mean someone who keeps their word. It means someone who lives according to the law of God. That according to God's standard, not men's standards, but according to God's standard, they do the upright thing. Not necessarily perfectly, but what's sometimes been called Christian perfection. Not absolute perfection, like we see in Job, where Job was talking of one who walked before the Lord God in integrity. Job was not sinless, but the pattern of his life was to be one who was obeying the law of God as a pattern of his life. And that's the idea of integrity. It's someone who's walking according to the law of God, who's obeying the law, and as we've seen as we looked through the commandments, obeying the law not just externally. The Pharisees did that, but they weren't called people of integrity. They were considered hypocrites. It's to walk in the law of God, obeying the law of God from the heart, out of a pure heart. It's complete. It's not half-hearted obedience. It's not just the external without the internal. It's seeking to honor God from the heart because He's redeemed you, because He's your Savior, because you're one of His children and you want to honor your Father. So to walk with integrity is to live a life of obedience to the commands of God, to the revealed will of God from the heart. And it says the man who walks with integrity walks securely. The word securely here is a translation of a Hebrew word that it has this idea of kind of like a fortress or a refuge. And it has two kind of connotations, both the fact of security, the fact of safety, that you're safe, but also the feeling that comes from it of confidence. There's times you could be safe but still be scared, can't you? Hey, every time that, we children have, you tell your children, you don't need to be afraid, and they're so afraid, they're clinging on to you. You ever bring a child into a pool for the first time, if they're a little bit older, like they weren't, well, you didn't always have them around water, they weren't always in a pool, and the first time, they're maybe 4, 5, 6 years old, and they are just stuck to you. You can't peel them off. You're like, I've got you, you've got the swimmies on, you've got, you know, life, you're not gonna, and they will not let go of you. They are perfectly safe, but they don't feel safe. There's not that emotional reaction on the other side of saying, okay, I'm confident. There's still terror, even though they're safe. But the security here, the safety spoken of here, is a safety that brings with it also the emotional feeling of confidence that not only am I safe, but I feel safe. I'm confident. Nothing's going to happen. I'm okay. In fact, if you look at some Bibles, they give us a cross-reference for this passage here, the 23rd Psalm, especially the verse, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. It's that idea of not just the I am safe, but I so know that I'm safe that I'm confident. I'm not in terror. And that's what a lot of us need. A lot of us could say or know intellectually, I'm safe in God's hands, but we still live life in kind of a fearful terror, like the little child that could see the, you know, the thing floats. You could show them, look, it'll hold you up, and they still cling to you in terror. What many of us need is that emotional feeling of security as well. That feeling of confidence that, yes, I am safe. It's okay. I'm safe here. And that's what the writer of Proverbs is saying here, is that he who walks with integrity walks securely. He's not just safe in fact, but he is safe in his feeling. He feels that. He is confident. He walks along knowing it's okay. Though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm okay. I'm safe. Because my Lord's with me. It's okay. I'm safe. That's easy to say, isn't it? But we all know, we haven't always felt that way, have we? Even when we've known we're safe, we haven't felt that. So recognize the depths that He gives us here. It's not just that you are safe, but that you feel this safety. You have this confidence in life, in the way that you're going. In other words, you can put it this way, the person whose conduct is upright in relation to the law of God is safe and confident. They're safe and they know they're safe. They're safe and they're confident they're safe. They're safe and they're not afraid.
is they walk uprightly with their Lord.
But now he gives the antithesis, the other side of it, about the person who evidently is not walking in integrity. It says, but he who perverts his ways will become known. To pervert is to twist things. Okay? It's to twist in a way that's not supposed to be. Children, if you've ever gone to a fun house and those mirrors that make you look really fat or really skinny or like you've got a big giant head or a really long neck and short little squatty leg, it's because the mirror is twisted. It's perverted. It doesn't do what it's really supposed to do in giving a true image. So the idea of to pervert in the Bible is to twist something or to go out of the way. And it says, and what does this person eat? What do they pervert? What do they twist? They twist their ways. The idea of ways here is the same as walking before. It's their lifestyle, how they behave. So their behavior is twisted. What is twisted behavior, in fact? It's a violation to the law of God. The law of God's the standard. Our behavior is supposed to mirror the law of God. When we don't obey the law of God, we're twisting the law of God. We're twisting that mirror and saying, I'm going to go off in my own way. I'm not going to go according to God's word. I'm going to twist it to fit what I want to do. So I'm going to twist my way. I'm going to disobey the law of God. And what does it say about the person who twists their way, who perverts their ways? It says they will become known. Now what does this mean? People will know who you are? That's no real scary thing, is it? Say they will become known has the idea of you'll be exposed. You'll be shown to be what you are. That you're a lawbreaker. You'll be exposed internally in your own conscience. Your own conscience will condemn you that what you're doing is wrong. You're exposed before God because God sees everything you do. As it says in the Bible, Thou, Lord, seest me. God knows all that you do. And it seems to here have also the idea that you'll be known publicly. That God will, whether it's in this life or the next, publicly expose you and your deeds. And why is that such a scary thing? Why does he say that instead of you'll die or you'll be in danger? Because with a person who perverts their way, who twists their way, is always banking on is the fact that nobody knows they're doing it. They think, I can get away with this. I'll keep twisting my way and it'll be okay. It's the person who walks on a dangerous road and says, but I'll never get hurt. Other people may have gotten hurt on this road, but it won't happen to me. I'll be okay. And maybe you're like that. Maybe you're someone who's living in sin, but nobody will ever find out. I mean, I've got these secret sins. And I do. And everybody thinks I'm a good person. Everybody thinks I'm a good Christian person. I seek to obey the law of God. Nobody knows the secret little life I have, the secret little things that I do. Maybe the people who are closest to me know. Maybe my wife doesn't know. My kids don't know. Maybe my parents don't know. But you will be exposed. God says He'll bring everything to light. You'll be made known. Children, you know this sometimes, right? When you lied and you thought, I can get away with it. I'm just going to lie to mom and dad and they'll never know. Don't mom and dad always end up finding out sooner or later? And then isn't it worse when they find out than what you even did in the first place? When we pervert our ways, we'll be exposed. We'll be shown to be what we are. Lawbreakers. And that makes for a very dangerous way. We can put it this way. That the person whose conduct is not in accord with the law of God will be ultimately exposed and judged as a lawbreaker. Because the idea of being made known is just not to be made known for sake of, oh, look what they did. But God exposes it so that He might be just when He judges it. He says, see, this is what they've done and that's why I'm judging them. That's why my wrath is coming up. You think they were good. They put on a great act that they were good. And you might think that I'm unjust if I were just to punish them. I am publicly exposing their sin so that when my judgment comes, it will show them to be just and true and righteous. So what's the point of the whole proverb? What's it getting at? Well, we can put it this way. You walk in safety in life by means of obedience to the law of God from the heart. That's how you walk safely. What is the safe way in life? It's the way of obedience to the law of God from the heart. Not obedience in terms of trying to get right with God by working your way to God, but it's obedience from a heart that has been redeemed, from a heart that says, God has taken care of my sin debt in Christ. And now I'm trying to obey Him out of a heart of love and out of expression of my gratitude to Him. Now, I just want to explain this for a little bit. First of all, to say that that's the safe way, to say that obedience to the law of God is the safe path, is not to say that it is always the easy path. Sometimes it's the hardest path, but it's still the safest path. Being hard and being dangerous are two different things. If something's hard, it means it may take a lot of effort and exertion. It may cost a lot to do it. But it doesn't mean it's not safe. In fact, that's the reason why many times people won't take the safe way, is because it's too hard. So while the safe way may sometimes be the hardest of all ways, it's still the safest always. Why is it the safest? Because God will always protect His people when they're walking in obedience. Again, that's what the psalm, what David said in the 23rd Psalm. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, doesn't get much harder than walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I still will fear no evil. The Lord will watch over me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took the hard way, didn't they? The way of obedience was hard for them. The easy thing would have been to bow down with everybody else. That would be easy, wouldn't it? But that wasn't the safe path for them. They chose the hard way, and the Lord delivered them. Daniel also, he chose the hard way, didn't he? But it was the safe way. He's the one who didn't die. The lions didn't eat him. But it was hard. But it was safe. Because God took care of His children. It's safe, though, not just because God protects you, but also because your conscience isn't condemning you. You're safe with yourself. Because even though something's difficult, you say, at least I'm doing the right thing. I know what I'm doing is right. And though I suffer for it, though it's difficult, I have a clear conscience. I could live with myself. I could look at myself in the mirror. Because I'm not my conscience isn't condemning me. It's safe. So the way of obedience is always the safe way, though it may not always be the easy way. Now the flip side of this is, disobedience to the law of God is sometimes the easy way, but it is never the safe way. It is always dangerous and never safe. It's easy because to disobey the law of God is to swim with the current. It's to run downhill with the wind at your back because the world, the flesh, and the devil all want to go that direction anyway. There's no real resistance to it. It's easy to do wrong. And children, you know this. Don't you find it's hard to obey, but it's easy to disobey? Like to disobey doesn't take any real work, does it? You wake up in the morning and you could disobey. You don't have to plan it. It just comes naturally because that's the way in a sin-cursed world we are. The world, the flesh, and the devil all conspire to violate the law of God. But to do the right thing takes work. That's hard. For one, you have to work to even know what the right thing is. So it takes some intellectual work. And then you've got to actually flex your spiritual muscles and say, even though I don't want to do the right thing all the time, I need to do the right thing, and I'm going to do it even though it's hard. So doing the wrong thing is easy many times. Many times it's the easiest thing to do. It's a path of least resistance. But it's always dangerous. Because sin always complicates things. Sin, though, for the moment might be the easy thing to do. It always makes everything else that much harder to do. It's like saying, boy, it's real hard to like hike up this mountain because I got too much weight on me, so I'll just chop off my arm to loosen some weight. Now, that'd be an easy thing to do at the moment. And yeah, you would. You'd lose some weight. You wouldn't have to carry so much. But now it makes everything else harder because you only have one arm. And if you keep doing that, you chop off the other arm as you go up. Okay, you're still lighter. But now you only have no arms. And then you start chopping off legs. Now you're like hopping up and rolling up the hill here. It gets different. That's what you do when you sin. Every time you sin, you make everything else harder. Even though for the moment it seems like, well, if I just do this, it'll be easier. But it never makes it easier. It always makes it more difficult. And some of you who are older know this. Because you've been in a pickle because of your own sin. And you could have done the hard thing, which is the right thing. Or there was an easy way out to just sin. You say, well, I already sinned already, so I might as well, I'll just fix this, I'll sin again. And it didn't get easier. Now it even got harder. And the more you play that game, the worse and worse things get. It's like when you tell a lie. You have to tell a lie to cover up the first lie. Then you got to tell a third lie to cover up the first two. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And what seemed like the easy way out, to say, I didn't do it, becomes an unbearable burden after a while. And it's always dangerous because not only does it complicate your life, but your conscience will eat at you. Because you could fool everybody else, but you can't fool yourself, can you? You know what you're doing is wrong. And you have to bear that burden of your own guilt. And that's for many of you. This isn't just for children. You adults know this. You can do wrong and nobody knows, but you know it. And if you're a Christian, God will never let you be comfortable living in your sin. And it'll eat away. Like David talks about how his bones were like they were dried up and broken and crushed. Couldn't live like that. And not only does your own conscience bother you, but you've placed yourself now under the judgment of God. You've placed yourself outside of His protection and liable to His judgment. Now, if you're a Christian, doesn't mean you'll be cut off and cast into hell forever, but you are under His fatherly chastisement. He can give you a spiritual spanking, and some people have had that happen to them, and they realize it's been real rough. It's changed their whole life, the way God has had to discipline them. You know, David, he didn't lose his life when he sinned with Bathsheba, but he lost his child, and he mourned over that. That he lost his child. David sinned and he had bloodshed and disruption in his family life for the rest of his life. God did that to discipline David. So even though David was a man after God's own heart, when he went the dangerous way, he made himself liable to God's, you know, fatherly wrath, to God's fatherly chastisement. And he had to bear with that the rest of his life and made his life much more difficult. So it's never the safe way, the way of disobedience. It might be the easy way sometimes, but it's always dangerous. It always makes your life worse and harder. Now this point is confirmed in the rest of Scripture. I'm just going to read you a few different Scripture passages that confirm this. Proverbs 28:18, which is kind of the sister verse to this one, says, "Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall." In Psalm 25:21, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you." Here's the psalmist cries out, "Let my integrity, my uprightness, my law, may that preserve me, Lord, and I wait for you, because I know you'll deliver me like that." Psalm 26:11, "But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me." It says, "Lord, I'll walk in my integrity. I'll walk in the safe path, and then I trust for you to redeem me and to take care of me." Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." If they're walking in the path of safety, no good thing does He withhold. In Isaiah 33, verses 15 and 16, "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of the rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure." So you see again, the person walking in uprightness, he's safe. But now the flip side of that, in Luke 12, it says, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known." See, they weren't really walking in the way of safety. It looked like it on the outside at times, but they weren't obeying God from the heart. They were doing to impress other people. And the Lord said, all their hidden things, they'll be exposed. They're hypocrites. And I'll show them. He says, beware of being like that. Then again in 1 Corinthians 4:5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God." And a warning here again, you could walk in the dangerous road. You could do that and nobody know about it, but God knows. And at the last day of judgment, you'll be exposed for who you are and how you live. Because God knows not only what you did, not only your sinful deeds, but your sinful thoughts and words and motives. And He'll bring those all into judgment. So what do we do? How do we live this passage out then? Well, if you would walk in safety in this life, you must obey the law of God from the heart. And recognize this is only possible if you're united to Christ by faith. No one on their own could obey the law of God from the heart, because we're spiritually dead. We can't even begin to try to do it. But if we're united to Christ by faith, now the Holy Spirit gives us a new ability we didn't have before. That's what it talks about when we're born again. We are given a new will and a new desire to obey the Lord from the heart. If you would walk in safety, you must walk in obedience. You must come to Christ in repentance and faith, and then live according to His law out of love for your Savior. And that is the safe way. But if you will not, if you refuse, if you want to keep walking in the dangerous way, if you want to keep twisting your way, perverting your ways, and ignoring the law of God, you bring danger upon yourself. You're in the way of peril. It's not if, it's when the danger will strike you. And sadly, for too many, it's after it already happens that you realize the danger. Because instead of heeding the counsel of God's Word, where God says, this is dangerous, you need to get out of that way, you need to get back on the safe way, oh, it'll never happen to me, I'll never be found out, or it'll be okay, and then it happens. And then you find you can't always get out of it. Or you get out of it, but with terrible scars for the rest of your life. There are some people who have sacrificed all different kinds of things in their lives because of foolish decisions. Because they walked off that safe way and went off because it seemed exciting or it seemed easy. One or the other. It's usually the thrill seekers or the spiritually lazy. It's the easy way or it's the exciting way. And they've gone off the safe path. And they've brought terrible things into their life. Some, even the loss of their own souls for all eternity. So would you be safe? You live in a dangerous world. Do you want to walk safely? Then you need to walk according to the Word of God. You need to obey the law of God from the heart. It is the safe path. But if you turn aside, you're putting yourself in great, grave peril. And destruction will come to you unless you turn from the way you are going. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that in a sin-cursed world that is fraught with danger, You have provided a path of safety for Your people, if only we would walk in it. Father, we recognize that obeying Your law is not always the easy way, that at times it is very difficult. At times it could cost us our very physical lives, Father, to walk in Your way. But we recognize also that it is always the safe way. That even if Your path takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, we are safe because we are in Your hands. And we need fear nothing. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like Daniel in the lion's den, we can walk the path of safety with confidence, knowing that You can deliver us either from death or through death. That our life is always safe if we walk by Your Word. So Father, keep us from being thrill seekers or spiritually lazy and turning off the path and going in the way of danger. May we recognize the great folly of that. It's not cool, it's not brave, it's folly. Teach us that, Father, that we may not make those mistakes and have to learn the hard way, the danger of turning from Your Word. And may we be found a people walking in Your way, confident and safe, praising our Savior and living to the praise of His glorious grace. In the name of our Lord, we ask this. Amen.